Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, as you guys know, New York Fashion Week is wrapping up. And if you didn't see, because I don't know how you would miss it, because Sonia was posting it, Bravo covered it. Sonia by Sonia Morgan had its runway show on Friday, and our very own Sarah Harley was there.
Ooh, Sarah, tell us all about it.
Give us a little tea.
Yeah, no, it was great. I got a text from Laurie Cooper at noon, who some of you might know as Dorinda Medley's real estate agent, and she had a plus one. So I ended up going as Laurie Cooper's date to Sonia Morgan's fashion show, which I was truly honored by. I had no idea what to wear, so I hurry up and went to H&M and tried to buy all of the Ariana Grande times H&M line. Turns out it does not look cute on me. I do not actually look like Ariana Grande, which was a really sad realization.
Well, everyone knows you're supposed to wear the designer to the designer's show.
And there's a dress I really want. So Sonia Morgan, if you're listening to this, hook a girl up with that Boris Green number, long sleeves. I think she wore it at the reunion. But the fashion show was really awesome. Miss New York was there. Miss Cracker was there, who you might know from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Any Real Housewives level drama?
There was. And I won't say who, but there was some fighting. There was an appearance by someone legendary. Harry Dubin was there and was talking to Miss Ramona Singer.
Were they making out again?
Full tongue. No, I'm just kidding. No, they were just talking when I was there. I don't know. I didn't go to the after party. I had another date to attend with my boyfriend, but
not Laurie Cooper.
Not Laurie Cooper. I had to leave Laurie Cooper as a date. I left her stranded. But yeah, no, it was really nice. The fashion was really cool. And she did a great job, and I can't wait to see it all play out, hopefully on the show.
Well, we have a big episode today because The Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion Part 1 finally aired.
Ugh, I don't want it to end, but I'm so glad we are in reunion mode.
We also need to talk about Real Housewives of Dallas, Real Housewives of Orange County, and we have interviews with Ben Robinson from Below Deck Med and Deandra Simmons from Real Housewives of Dallas.
And before we get into it, I will give you guys an update next week. I'm going to see Danny Pellegrino, Everything Iconic, his live performance. Well, I guess it's not a performance, a live recording of his podcast. So I will give you guys an update next week.
Okay, so the reunion.
I mean, the biggest reveal in the beginning, Giselle and Jamal.
Right.
Reunited.
Back with her ex-husband.
Is it your ex-husband, Jamal?
It is.
I heard that.
It is.
It was true.
Double duh.
Like, we've been sitting on this.
I peeped this at your baby shower. We went out to eat after.
Okay.
And I was like, you and Jamal should just start dating again. And you were like, well, why do you say that?
That's not what she said.
You didn't even blink.
She said, he knows your privates. You know his privates. So y'all need to be together.
How long has this been going on?
Quite some time. Since last year.
Now, what's crazy is I actually interviewed Giselle this morning, and that interview is going to come out next week. But I was talking to her before we got to recording, and I said, Giselle, I have a bone to pick with you. Because when you were here at the beginning of the season, you teased that you were dating someone new. You did not tell me, however, that it was your ex, Jamal. And she was like, listen, if I had told you that, you guys would have been all over that. I would have been answering these questions for months now. She was like, I had to wait. And I was like, all right. Understandable.
So it's been a while.
Well, she said at the reunion, they've been together for like almost a year.
It's confusing because it sounds like they're taking it really slow in a way. But a year's a long time.
Yeah. Well, she kind of mentions in the interview too, they're not even sort of rediscovering each other at this point because they were married. You know, it was a long time ago and they've changed a lot. But it is really cool to see them reconnect. And it's not so far off from what we've seen Robin and Juan do, you know? I mean, they're kind of together, but not together, but together, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so Michael comes up as a topic of discussion right off the bat because we know he's coming later to the reunion.
Yeah.
We can't wait to see that. But Karen takes a little bit of a dig and says, the man loves a camera, meaning of course he's going to be here because he can't get enough of the camera.
Right.
I feel like the men on Real Housewives get such a bad rap anytime they do anything as they just want the attention of the camera. Is that not why you are all there?
That is a very valid point.
But it's because they're a man, it makes it not okay?
Yeah, well, I didn't really understand that either because she references the Fox interview that he did to sort of clear his name after the, you know, allegations were dropped, all of that. I've never perceived Michael as someone who was there for the cameras. I perceived him as someone who, like, had to be on camera because his wife was there and he wanted to support her and all of that.
I totally agree.
But I've never envisioned him as, you know, I've never thought that he was doing it all for attention.
Totally. Like, he's not a Simon Van Kempen where it's right? like he's releasing his own hit single,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, well, and I think we've heard him in the past talk about issues with his work and being on, you know, I think he's made some references to that, how it's impacted his work. So I think he obviously takes his businesses very seriously. But yeah, I was a little confused by that dig from Karen.
Someone who admitted she does love the camera is Dorothy.
That's what I was going to say. So Miss Dorothy shows up. I figured she was going to come into this reunion on more of a redemption tour and trying to clear her name a bit because of what we've seen on the show. And it was not that at all.
Right.
I mean, she brought the bag that she allegedly hit Candace with.
Well, the bag that factually made contact right. with Candace's face.
There was still makeup on the bag. And Candace's like, that's my makeup. Like, come on. And then she wanted to demonstrate on Giselle. And Giselle's like, no. And Andy's like, let me do it. I want to do it. I would have honestly asked Miss Dorothy myself to hit me in the face to experience it.
But here's how you know that in Candace's recollection that she was hit hard because she was like, Mom, don't hit him hard. Right. You know, like yeah. if it was in fact like a little tap, I don't think she would have felt the need to.
Oh, 100% for sure. And also even just when Dorothy recreated the action, it still seemed like that action was intended to at least block Candace's face in that moment, because if they were getting into it and yeah. Candace was getting set, because we know when Candace goes off, she can't control it. And when she often goes off with her mother in her mother's presence because of the way Dorothy treats her. So I think we saw exactly how it played out, and Dorothy didn't do a good job of being like, it was an accident. She sort of was like, it was an intentional accident.
I thought Monique's reaction to Dorothy coming out was a little strange. Like, she said something like, I'm just confused. I'm seeing someone's mom on the couch.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal. Like, I'm just confused. And Andy's like, well, we invited her.
Right.
I just have to ask. I've never seen a mom on a couch. I'm just like literally sitting here. I can't hold it in.
I was invited.
I've been sitting here so confused the whole time. Like,
but also, Dorothy's not the first mother to be on those couches. Mama Joyce from Real Housewives of Atlanta right. has been to a reunion.
I thought the same thing, and I think maybe Monique was just saying, like, in our franchise. Like,
maybe.
I haven't seen a mother out here before, but...
But didn't she seem almost annoyed by it?
Definitely. And it is interesting, because what would she expect? Of all of their parents, you know, Dorothy had a huge storyline with Candace this season. And she's a huge part of Candace's life and all of it. That was a lot of what Candace dealt with this season.
Yeah.
It's not like Giselle's dad, who was in 1.5 episodes this season, showed up, you know, which yeah. I wouldn't mind because I love her dad. But yeah, I was a little weirded out by that too.
Well, so the Mama Joy's comparison was sort of in my head for the whole time Dorothy was out there. And something that made a connection for me was, okay, so Mama Joyce and Candy have had their fair share of drama
yeah.
between the two of them. But at the end of the day, if anyone yelled at Candy from across the couch, like Ashley was yelling at Candace, Mama Joyce would have...
attacked. Yeah.
She would have had something to say. And Dorothy just sat there and said nothing.
I know.
Well, this person... I mean, by the way, I'm not saying Ashley is in the wrong. They were both going at it. But if someone is screaming at your daughter, wouldn't you feel an instinct to sort of protect them?
I didn't see that reaction from her at all. She was just posted up, letting it happen. I think Dorothy doesn't like when Candace goes off like that. And she says it at the reunion, you know, she doesn't like when she sees that side of Candace. But I thought the same exact thing. I was like, if that were me on the couch and my mother next to me and someone was screaming at me, I know my mom would be on her feet, like in that person's face, being like, don't treat my daughter this way. Not in front of me. Like, it's not going to happen while I'm here.
Right.
But I didn't see any of that sort of mama bear type of reaction. And I think it's just very reflective of Candace and Dorothy's relationship.
Yeah.
The other thing that really got me was when they started talking about Candace's brother and the whole issue about how Candace wanted him at the mm-hmm. wedding and Dorothy obviously didn't. But the extra layer of information that we got where Candace found out about it because she found this poem that her brother had written for her father.
Yeah.
I was walking in my dad's room and I read a poem from him and it was signed, "Love Your Son," and it had his name. And I was confused because I knew that I was my dad's only child.
You know, I was talking about it with Danny and being like, is Dorothy in the wrong for never telling Candace about that brother? Because she obviously knew it happened before Candace was even born. And it was, you know, something that happened before she had even married Candace's father. And just for Candace to go on that long into her life not knowing she had a half-brother, I'm kind of like, whose fault is it? Is it her dad's fault? Is it Dorothy's fault? Did Dorothy just want to tuck that away? You know, I kind of felt like that was a very uncomfortable way for Candace to find out.
1,000%. And the fact that she immediately upon telling her mom realized it was something she wasn't allowed to bring up again.
Yeah.
This is a weird way to equate it. But I remember as a little girl watching TV with my dad in a commercial for what I now know as a tampon came on. And I said to my dad, what do those do? And he said in this very stern voice, you can ask your mother about that. Now, and as an adult looking back, I think he was embarrassed. I don't think he knew how to talk to me about it.
Right, right.
But I remember feeling this sense of guilt of like, this is a subject I do not talk to my dad about.
Yeah. That's really funny. It's like when you're little and you're like watching a movie with your parents and a sex scene comes on
right.
and it's just like everyone just doesn't say anything, you know, and it's like so awkward. But like, of course, you know, you might be watching like an action movie and then there's like gunshots and blood and violence. That's okay. But
right.
as soon as the sex scene comes on, it's
right.
like, oh, we can't talk about this.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I can see a little baby Megan being like, Dad, what's that? You could talk to your mother about that one. Oh, my God. That is so funny. In terms of Chris, we get some new bits of information from Candace about him. And apparently that he is also from a
wealthy
prominent,
family?
Well-to-do family that has some kind of influence over the Potomac area into Virginia. I don't know what that means.
It also doesn't compute for me because, again, he's living in a house that his mother-in-law, at least a little bit for a while, no, a lot bit for a while,
yeah,
financially contributed to where he was living.
Yeah.
If he's from a well-to-do family, why aren't they paying for it?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's the thing, too. Why aren't they already splitting the mortgage if that's the case? Not to say that, you know, he should be, but it just, it doesn't add up. Something doesn't add up.
Maybe it's his, like, great uncle or something.
I did a quick Google search
oh.
of just, like, Bassett family.
We know it's not Bassett furniture.
Right, we know that because Robin clarifies that. I did not come across anything on Google. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just, like, very privately owned and something or other. But from the small amount of research I did not find anything.
And maybe it's from his mother's side.
Maybe.
If Candace... You know, Ashley calls Candace hamster face, which I think a hamster is an adorable comparison.
They are pretty cute.
What animal's face do you think I have?
A swan.
You're so full of shit.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I have been told that I have like the bird-like features.
Yeah.
So that I would maybe I'm the swan. Or maybe I'm like a flamingo.
Ooh, I could see you as a flamingo.
You know, one time I went to the zoo with my friend Samantha and we were at the flamingo area and she goes, oh my God. And I was like, what? And she was like, that flamingo only has one leg. And I was like, Samantha, that's how they stand. And she was like, oh. And then she like looked around and saw that all the other flamingos were only on one leg. And
she's
I was just like,
what is this godforsaken zoo where all the animals only have one leg?
So, yeah, I really feel like I have a connection to flamingos now.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think you would be...
Something, like, effortlessly chic.
Yeah.
But, like, a little bit adorable.
Right.
With, like, a hint of sexy.
Like a hedgehog. They're so cute. I follow this one on Instagram named Mr. Pokey, and he's so adorable.
I'm not mad at it.
Not like the freaky Sonic the Hedgehog movie that's coming out where he has like human teeth, but like the really cute actual hedgehogs.
Cool.
One thing I want to bring up too that I thought was really interesting was Ashley Darby kind of coming to terms with her issues with her father and how that may affect her relationship with Michael. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like over the last couple of seasons, a lot of people are saying things about Ashley, both viewers and the people on the show, about why is she with Michael? Is it all for the money? Is it all for this or that? And obviously thinking that it's tied to some quote unquote daddy issues. And for her to sort of make that admittance and being like, you know what, I do think that there might be some connection there that I'm still working through. It makes sense just seeing what she went through this season with her father. But I thought that was really big and mature and very self-aware of her.
The looks one I think is debatable, but I think it would be naive of me to not acknowledge that I have some issues with my dad. I do have some things, some gaps in my life that maybe I have been trying to fill, and Michael does. He is very supportive. He's authoritative. He's everything that I would want anybody to be. So perhaps there is some connection to that.
And it was interesting because the women are like, yeah, we've seen what her dad looks like, and he looks like Michael.
Yes, and they look strikingly similar.
Like they could be related. I will say, I thought that her dad was like pretty good looking.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when you look at Ashley because she's so beautiful. He definitely has a different type of features than Michael that might make him.
But it's like similar coloring.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that Ashley is kind of coming to terms with that.
My last comment on the reunion has to do with the fact that whenever it was we're about to get to commercial break and they're like, coming up, Michael Darby's here. And they're playing this spooky music. And then at the very end, when they're teasing that he's coming on, it's like scary music.
Oh, yeah. He's up in the balcony and they're all like looking around horrified.
I know. Like Bravo is super shady with that music selection.
Super shady. But I did think it was very, metaphorical in the sense that he's like looming over the balcony while the rest of them are down there. It's very representative of how this season was. This was always lurking in the background. Mm. This whole season from the very beginning, the first episode where they kind of teased what was to come and we were waiting for these allegations to come, for the whole situation. So I thought it was a really nice way to sort of tie in this whole season. But I can't even imagine how part two is going to go, knowing that he is going to be on that stage with the other husbands too.
I know.
Woo. The men are going to bring it.
Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish. To try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing. Real Housewives of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with a little mishap on Deandra's part.
Oof, is what I have to say.
Travis is one of the people that I feel like I would never want to be on his bad side or let him down.
Well, I just feel like my Capricorn-ness is very much like, if we have an appointment, if we have a time we're meeting and you miss it altogether, ooh, nothing pisses me off more.
That's really rude. And then just knowing that it had to do with her hair color not coming out properly.
Right. Well, you guys do need to listen to her interview later in the episode because she gives her whole perspective on and runs through what exactly happened that day and why she regrets not going.
I mean, she should, because if you want to be taken seriously, especially at this point where her business is and it's been turned over to her and it's struggling, and Travis is someone, we talked about it last week in the interview with Stephanie, how he grew his business so substantially over the course of 6 years. He is the number one person that you should be prioritizing having a meeting with.
Totally.
So.
But I did find, if he was just a businessman who had no relation to Deandra, then I think that the voicemail he left her would be totally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's his wife's friend, I was like, that was a little harsh.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be kind of upset with Aaron if he ever spoke to one of my girlfriends like that.
I think Stephanie knew that was coming, yeah. And she tried really hard to get him to not do that. Like, she wouldn't let him off the phone. She was like, okay, be nice. Are you going to be nice? Are you going to be nice to Deandra? You know, and then he hung up and he left that message. And it was a little extreme.
Yeah.
You know, but he really wanted to convey his disappointment, and I think just really let her know you can't be up like this,
right?
If you want to be taken seriously in business.
Totally.
Hey, Deandra, Travis here. As you know, we had a meeting at 8. You didn't come through on that. I did my part. My wife got the message, but we did not get it till about 9 this morning. Anyway, very disappointed. I think it's a little disrespectful, quite honestly. You know, just advice. The first thing about business, you got to show up or else nothing's going to happen. Anyway, happy birthday. Bye.
What did you think about Leanne and the dress?
I'm literally covering my face because it was so cringeworthy. You're basically asking for money.
Yeah.
And this person who their craft is designing dresses, and they're like, oh, well, it would be this much. And you're like, but like, could I just give you like nothing?
Right. And it wasn't like we saw previously where Leanne was in a situation and the person she was talking to was like, look, I want to do this for you. I'm offering my services. I would love to support you in this way. Please let me do it. And she was like, great. In this situation, the woman presented two options. It was like, I can do this dress for $10,000 or I can do this dress for $7,000. And both of those were obviously, you know, a lot of money for a dress. But then the way that her party planner positioned it really backed the designer into a corner.
Especially,
where they felt that they had to do that.
Well, and on camera.
She's always so hesitant, humble about accepting things that people want to do for her because, you know, all she's done for them. That's a lot of what we've been doing.
I feel like honored for you to come and to ask me to do that. I feel honored. Just don't worry about that part. I'm honored to do your dress. We're gonna do it for you. For favor, like, okay. Don't breathe. Okay, I love that.
I don't know. I don't like that.
It felt very, very icky. And whether or not Leanne is such an amazing person in Dallas society and she gives back and all of that, you should still recognize that, to your point, of someone, this is their craft, this is their well-being that we're talking about, and for them to then go and have to now create this product in 7 weeks, mind you, for free, that's asking a lot.
It also just, you know, weddings annoy me in the way that a lot of people will take that opportunity to go beyond their means for a day, and it's
right.
Just like, do the best with what you can afford.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Don't ask for things for free.
Right. I mean, I understand she wants her wedding to be this incredible thing, but you're waiting until last minute to do all of this stuff. You're giving these people only 7 weeks to pull all of it together. Like, no. I feel like I would like a life coach.
Why? What do you think is lacking that you need a life coach?
I don't even necessarily think anything is lacking. I like that Stephanie's been very open about her depression,
yeah,
and the issues that she's had. And I appreciate that so much about her. And her interview that we did last week is one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done because she is just so open and sweet and sincere. And it's so refreshing to see. But I like the idea of just having someone who's somewhat objective to go to and talk about what you want to achieve, what you want to do, and have them sort of direct you in that way. It's almost like when you were in high school or even college, you might have had like a guidance counselor. where is the adult version of that? Mm. You know, like that would be a very good place to have someone like a life coach. And Stephanie goes and talks through it with this person and they can sort of help her get the tools to be better at what she's doing, at who she is. I like it.
I thought it was interesting that Stephanie said she kind of fell back into a depression because since opening up about it on the show, all these people were reaching out with their stories and that triggered her. Mm-hmm. Because I followed this makeup artist on Instagram who's insanely successful and she had opened up about her anxiety. And then she started to tell people, please stop DMing me about your anxiety. Like, I'm not trying to be cold. It really triggers me and then sends me into a spiral. I just think that's so interesting.
Well, it's a lot of pressure. I mean, you put yourself out there in a sense, but if that's not what you do for a career or you're not trained in a certain way or you don't have the right, you know, words to use to help people, it's a lot of pressure to be that person for someone else if you don't really know how to do it. So I totally understand that. But I just really appreciate that she is so upfront about it. And it's a perfect example of how mental health can impact anyone because, I mean, she's beautiful. She's blonde. She has this great husband. She has these great kids, this huge house. You know, she has so much going for her. But that doesn't translate to I'm always happy all the time. And people need to remember that. It's important to remember that.
Right.
God bless you, Stephanie.
On a positive note, we head to Mexico.
Oof. This house
is like a resort.
I mean, incredible.
Insane.
It's on a mountainside.
Right.
There are something like 270 stairs just to get around the whole damn right. thing, which is insane. And I feel like I would kind of be in Leanne's boat where I'd be like, God damn, how many more stairs we got to go to get up and down this thing? But I would happily take a weekend there anytime.
Yeah, you can't complain about it while you're on a free trip.
My question, though, if there are enough rooms for everyone, is there a need to share rooms?
Here is my theory. My theory is that maybe Carrie suggested it would be more fun to have the ladies rooming together.
Yeah.
Because then you get more of a, like, camaraderie type situation.
Yeah.
But as I see that you've put in your notes, no lady on Real Housewives of New York would stand for that.
Or Real Housewives of Atlanta.
True.
They are always like, no, I need my own room. I need the best room. Like, it's always like Candy and NeNe and everybody being like, no, no, no. So these other housewives wouldn't stand for it. And I feel like I somewhat understand where, like, Leanne and they're coming from being like, do we need to do this? Like, of course, you get that sort of summer camp vibe when you're sharing with someone and there's roomies and all this sort of stuff. But that ends up spiraling into this whole situation, causing issues with everybody now. I feel like I would maybe feel a type of way, especially knowing, too, that they, number one, flew to Mexico from Dallas, then had to take, like, a two-hour bus ride to get to this place. Like, at that point, I'd be like, I need my own room so I can just, like, go take a nap for a little bit and just, like,
my
chill.
My God, you are just like Leanne.
Oh, no.
Like, just put on an audio book and enjoy the view.
I mean, honestly, I would probably, I am humble enough. I would like to think that if I were in this situation, I would be like, fine, I'll sleep with whoever. I would probably prefer to room with, like, Brandy or Stephanie, honestly. Mm. Even Cameron, I think I would room with.
Carrie seems like fun, though, too.
That's true. And she is the hostess, so she would, like, really be able to tell you the ins and outs of the home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
That I will say, though, one part where I would draw a line is that bathroom that they stopped at.
Ooh, yeah.
No. I would just pee on the side of the street. Like, right. I have no shame about that. Like, right. I would rather do that than get anywhere near that toilet.
Yeah, it's
I can't even think about it.
I mean, for you ladies of the world, it is a much different situation having to use that bathroom than it would be for me.
Right.
And I already, you know, road trips and you stop at some, like, podunk gas station and, like, it's, like, outside. You got to get a key inside. Yeah. And it's got the big wooden mallet on it so you can't steal the key.
Which is probably covered in urine.
Exactly. I mean, how often do they wash that? You know, that's not getting wiped down with a Clorox wipe anytime. So, like, that bathroom was those kind of bathrooms times 10. Like, I would hold it. I would go to the side of the road. I mean, no way.
That's worth risking a UTI.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and just to see Cameron in those environments, too, is just so incredible.
This is a hole in the floor with flies.
Also, it must be hard for her to squat. Like, she's so tall.
Right. Like, where do her legs go? One thing I do want to point out that I thought was a little much was Carrie at the dinner asking Leanne about why she never wanted to have children.
Yeah.
So, Leanne, you never wanted babies?
I had a very difficult childhood. I wouldn't, didn't want to bring them.
I did too, but my mom was an alcoholic. And my parents were divorced, you know? And I said, if you don't learn from all those things, life is too short to,
life is way too
to
short.
Waste with negative energy or negative people. I mean, I'm just like, it's not worth it.
I had a really different childhood.
That was making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
And that just opened the door for Leanne to reveal it all.
I mean, Carrie definitely, I feel, it's my just opinion, I do not think she knew what she was walking into.
Oh, definitely not.
Because, I mean, I'm curious myself why Deandra, for example, also, you know, doesn't have children. But, like, I would never ask that because it's a personal thing completely. So I think Carrie just, she didn't know what she was getting into.
Right, right. I think it's, if you're curious about that, you give yourself some time to get to know Leanne and hope that she maybe brings that information to you, because everyone else at that table, a lot of them are moms and they're very open about talking about their kids and all of that. So you would kind of just like bring the conversation to a place where everyone could sort of present their own opinion, but you don't have to necessarily point it out to someone and be like, well, why don't you? And then, I mean, it was just like, woof, went downhill fast.
But do you think Leanne was trying to elicit a reaction by revealing so much information?
Yes, I think Leanne loves to elicit reactions.
Like, I think that she was trying to make Carrie uncomfortable for asking that question.
Definitely. Because you can also say, given my life experience, it wasn't something I prioritized. You know, you don't necessarily have to launch right into your trauma. And that is a pattern of behavior we've seen in Leanne a lot. And, you know, she is very open about her experiences, but often uses those experiences to try to rationalize behaviors that might be a little too extreme.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad we got this Mexico trip going so that we can kick off this season real good. And we've got a couple more episodes.
Real good.
Real
you're
good.
Just like you're from Texas.
Okay. So next week we're still in Mexico.
Oh, I think we're going to be there a couple episodes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So I got the chance to sit down with Deandra Simmons. We talked about the status of her relationship with Leanne. It's not good, by the way. Exactly why she's so angry with her mother this season. And if she told Carrie Brittingham about the other wives before she started the show. Take a listen. Welcome, Deandra Simmons.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Megan.
Yes. This season already, I love it so much. I was at the reunion last season, so I was really curious where all the friendships were going to be at the start of the season. And I feel like we didn't miss too much. Like, we kind of picked up right where we left off with things a little bit tense with you and Leanne still.
It was exactly like not even a day or two had passed. And I feel like the reunion for me was extremely, I had so much PTSD. In fact, I didn't remember anything. I never watched it because it was so traumatic for me to kind of go through that process last year. I kept asking Brandy, I think, several weeks after, what happened now? Did this happen? She goes, what is wrong with you? You were there. I'm like, I don't remember anything. I have PTSD. So, and I didn't go back and watch it because I just didn't want to relive it. I mean, I know last year wasn't my shining moment, let's say. So, but everybody has a season where they have a rough time. And that was my rough season. And that's okay, because this process is difficult and there's a lot of wonderful things that come from it, but it's also very stressful. Yeah. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but you move on. And I mean, I'm certainly not going to live in the past ever. And so when we started, I really was willing to, when I said at reunion, if you were there and I said, I apologize, I sincerely apologize, I want to move forward. I thought that was, we're going to move forward. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
And I mean, it's hard to say even after the second episode if Leanne really means it when she says, let's move forward.
I don't think she wants to move forward. This whole season is, I think what happens is when Leanne, I apologize more than once. And what she wants me to do is now, okay, well, another apology, and why don't you do a somersault and do a flip, a back flip, and turn, you know, spin a top and do, I mean, I'm done. I'm done apologizing. I'm done. My conscience is clear. I had a sincere, genuine apology. I asked her to forgive me. I have forgiven her. She did things to me that were, in my opinion, it all depends on what is important to you. My finances are something I don't want to discuss. That's important to me. Her relationship with her husband is something she doesn't want to discuss. I'm the type of person, I actually tweeted this out, that if anything was going on between my husband and me, I'd be sharing it all over, because every woman in America can understand having been in a relationship where a man has hurt you or scorned you. I mean, I certainly can. I was a survivor of domestic violence before I met my husband. So all these things, that's why we do this show, is to share our experiences, our tragedies, our triumphs, our victories, our losses, our really big screw-ups, which I've had those. Last year was my really big screw-up year. And you know, let people see that we're human. I'm human. I make mistakes. It's okay. Life goes on.
Well, it's interesting that you describe last season as a screw-up season, even. Like, I mean, I guess that shows real remorse on your side.
Yeah, it's. I think sometimes it's better to not say anything and just let people kind of, you know, I guess we all have our stories and our journeys, and maybe sticking to my story and not trying to tell someone else's story for them or help them tell their story. But I have so much going on all the time. I really, when I did what I did, I didn't have any, I'm not a mean-hearted person, or I don't have nefarious intentions behind the kind of things that I do. And when I asked Leanne, I was very concerned, and I did it because I was wanting to make sure she was doing the right thing, because I'd known her for so long, and it didn't come across that way, unfortunately. And the backlash for me last year on social media was horrible, and that was the worst part of the whole process. I could deal with just the show, but the social media stuff was really horrible. And people see, you know, what they see, and then they make their decisions, and it's better, I found out, not to fight back, just to kind of, you know, toe the line, be calm, and just continue to be the gracious person that, you know I have inside of me, because I know that side of me. Last year, I went off the rails a little bit because I got, you know, so lambasted in you know, social media and stuff, and that's hard.
Yeah. Well, I have to know, where are you and Leanne today?
Well, I'm hoping that we can move forward in our friendship. Like I said, I was sincere and genuine when I said I was sorry. And if she wants to accept that, I extended the olive branch. If she wants to grab it, fine. If she doesn't want to grab it, that's really her choice. And she keeps saying she wants action, action, action. Somebody said this, I think Stephanie said this. She said, you know, Deandra's not a person that overshows emotion and that's just not me. My husband's really affectionate. I'm not a really emotional person. I mean, look at my mom. It's like I grew up in a home that wasn't that way. So I'm not stoic, but I'm not going to go crying and dramatic. And Leanne likes theatrics and drama and melodrama, and she likes everything to be big. And just because I say I'm sorry and you don't think it's big enough doesn't mean it's not sincere. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
So I feel like she needs to do what's best for her. If she doesn't want a friendship with me, that's fine. I have said, you know, my piece, my conscience is clear. I have great relationships with all the other girls, and I'm moving forward. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm tired of talking about it.
But so are you guys texting now? Like, are you in contact right now?
No, we're not in contact at all.
Got it.
And when she said, you know, I haven't received a text, I haven't seen this, I haven't done that. Well, that's really duplicitous, because she said to me she wanted space.
Mm.
Okay, if you tell me you want space, why do you want me to text you? So, and then she asked me to go meet with her for dinner, which I did, which she continued to berate me and talk about my mother controlling my finances after I said I was sorry again. You can't keep putting someone down and berating them and then expect them to want to have a friendship with you. Either you got to accept the apology and start over fresh, or there's not going to be a friendship.
Yeah.
So my opinion, I feel like I've done everything I need to do. And it's really up to her to decide what she wants to do with the friendship. But I'm not going to do any more tricks and somersaults and apologize again. I've had it with that, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think, I mean, we're civil. I did say last night, I saw her last night at a party. I said, hello, Leanne. She ignored me. But at least I said hello. I invited her to my 50th birthday party because it was the right thing to do. She'd been in my life 8 years, and she had been a friend for 8 years. Just because we had, you know, a big hiccup along the way doesn't mean you don't invite your friend that you've had a history with. And that's what I did. And I felt good about that. And I didn't know if she was going to come. She came at the very last minute, and she was said something nice and gave me a nice gift, and that's fine. And then we go forward, and you will see some really tender, sweet moments of friendship that just warm your heart, because you can see like glimpses of friendship we had before, but then it kind of goes back off the rails again. But, you know, after a few tequila shots, you're, oh, my best friend, you know, especially your birthday party in Mexico. I went a little wild. I'm a little nervous. In fact, I think I have like a bathing suit photo shoot at like 3 a.m. I don't know. It was just a lot of craziness.
Your ass looked amazing.
Oh, my God. That day that we went to celebrate my birthday, the main day. I mean, I don't know if I was like 35 tequila shots or what, but I had a good time. I mean, a really good time. So
do you look back at the Mexico trip as a success?
I had a blast, and okay, I think good. It was really important for me, Megan, because I'd had so much stress with my business that I needed a time to go with my girlfriends and have fun. And I did, and I let loose, and I had fun, and I went back to, you know, Stressville and startup company. So,
well, I want to know about that, because that was such a shocking revelation mm-hmm. in the premiere episode that, you know, you found out the business was really in trouble. So I want to know sort of like the timeline of that, because cameras weren't there to capture you finding out. Was it like a slow bleed of information, or all at once you found out?
I told my husband, I said, why is it every single time the cameras start rolling, my life is falling apart? You know, it's not 2 months before. It just happens to be the day that the cameras start rolling. Everything happens to me. And I did not know. So you'll find out that my mother just hid the numbers from me. So I saw how many sales we had every day. So they would do a final report, but then you have to see the expenses. And the accountant said, well, she told me not to show you. And I said, well, when daddy was alive, that was one thing, but he's passed away. How am I going to run a company if I don't know how much money's there? And that was, I think, really very wrong of her to do to me. And then when she was taking the extra money for the housekeeper and the two country clubs, which doesn't need to come out of my bank account at all. I mean, my mother has plenty of money, trust me. She has plenty of money, and she's very frugal, I'll put it that way. So she's not going to have, you know, there's not going to be any problems with how much money she has. So I was really resentful and angry, and she knows that, but we've worked through it. And the one thing I wasn't resentful. I want to make people to understand this. I wasn't resentful about not being given a company or not being given money. That's not what I'm resentful about. What I'm resentful about is the fact that I had a really great career in Washington, D.C. I was just promoted to Deputy Assistant Secretary of Energy Efficiency. She begged me to leave. I was going to, after that, go to a lobbying firm and make a lot of money because I did really well on the Hill lobbying. And so I said, okay, I'll come back. She begged and begged, but I came back with a stipulation. This is going to be my company, and I was going to take it over as a successful company and continue to grow it. So I'm not angry about my trust not giving me money or my mother not giving me money. People are like, oh, you stop whining because you're not getting money. That's not it. I'm angry because I changed the trajectory of my life at 35 years old, and now I'm 50 and having to start over again. And I shouldn't be doing that because I had a successful career. So do you see where the difference is, where people, I think their perception of me is that I'm spoiled, that I'm bratty? No, it's that I was already doing something that I had a plan for my life.
I mean, that makes so much sense. Does she get it, Mama D?
I don't think she, she says she didn't do it intentionally and that she didn't know. How could you not know? She says she didn't know that the company was going down. I find that hard to believe. I don't think she wants to accept responsibility for that. And what I do with my mother is I take the parts of her that I love, which, as you know, you've seen her, there's so many fun parts of my mom, and she's a blast to hang out with. She's a great mom on so many levels. And the parts that I don't really, you know, we have problems with, I try not to focus on those, and I focus on the good things.
Yeah.
And she's almost 80, so I want to spend time with my mother. I'm not going to cut my mother out of my life. And the funniest thing that she said, though, is when the first episode aired, and I think the producer said to me, would you ever give up your trust so your mother wouldn't be controlling you with money anymore? I'm like, no. And she said, I said, I've been groveling at her feet for 50 years. I'm not going to stop now. And I called her and I tweeted that. I said, did you like that? Because I thought she'd get mad. She goes, you're my daughter. You're not stupid. She's like, you're not a moron, Deandra. That was hilarious.
That's amazing. So you brought your friend into the mix, Carrie.
Yes, Carrie. Uh-huh. I love Carrie's fun.
Yes.
Obviously. She, I think, it makes perfect housewife, and I'll tell you why. because she has an opinion. She's fiery personality. She's fun. She's cute. She's got style. She's got class. She's got panache. She's got kind of like moxie. She's got every really, she checks all the boxes. I love her husband, and what I've seen of him on the show has been really good, and he obviously likes to be a part of it, which I think is a really, you really, it has to be a whole formula, and a lot of times it's hard to get the husbands and the kids involved, and I think he's, you know, all in. So I love watching them, and she came in very strong because that's her personality. She's not going to be shy in the corner, wallflower, trying to figure things out. She's going to give her opinion from day one. And I think that's what we need in our group. I mean, that's just the way you have a dynamic, powerful group of women that tell these amazing stories, but you have to have everybody that's on the page with wanting to do that and willing to do that and willing to open up. I mean, that's hard because she's open about her marriage, her children, and, you know, her struggles right now at 10-year anniversary. So she's telling a lot, and I know that the viewers are going to appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I have to imagine that as your friend, she must have said, okay, but like, before I sign up, tell me the good and the bad. And what did you say to her?
That's a great question because I really want to clear this up. Okay. So Carrie was real mad at me because she wanted to come over to my house and she wanted me to tell her everything about Leanne and about Cameron and what happened last year. And I kept putting it off. I didn't tell her one thing about Leanne, one thing about Cameron. I said, no, Carrie, I'm not going to do that. Because if I do it, then it's going to fall back on me. I'm the one that caused the problem between you and Leanne or you and somebody else. And it's not going to happen. I said, I'm sorry you're mad that I'm not going to tell you. But I think you should make your decisions for yourself. And I also think you should do what I do, which is most of the ladies don't like this. So I think she was upset with me on that. But I just told her, Carrie, if you're going to do this, I said, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a lot of, you'll get a lot of people that love you on social media. You'll get a lot of people that hate you on social media because of who you're aligned with. Just know that. She's a strong person, though. She thinks it's funny. She doesn't care. She's a lot stronger than me. I'm much more sensitive.
And if she really wanted to, she could go back and watch the episode.
Well, I said to her, you know, she watched the show last year, and you can think whatever you think. Yeah. And you know me as a person anyway, so... And that's what she did. And I'm glad I did that. And unfortunately, Carrie and Leanne did not get along, but it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. Totally. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I think in the Mexico trip, it's clear that Leanne sort of makes her own bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Carrie's all about fun. And if you're not fun, she's not like you. So she's like, you're not fun. You're boring. So you kind of get it. You have to get in on the party with Carrie and bond with her and make an effort. That's what she's loves friendships and loyal friends and people that bond with her and make the effort. And sometimes Carrie and I have a little problem because I don't have as much time because I am running this business. It's a startup. And so I can't answer all the phone calls. I can't go to lunches. I can't drink rosé all day. I can't do those kind of things that the other girls sometimes can do, or even dinners because I have to get up so early. So there's a little sometimes miscommunication about that, but she's very much into developing strong bonds and strong friendships.
Yeah. Was there any part of you when you were telling her she should do the show thinking her friendship may not survive the season?
Of course, because not this season. I just think that I'm a strong personality. Leanne's a strong personality. Carrie's a strong personality. You've got people with very strong personalities. You're going to have issues at some point down the road. I mean, and I'm a realist. I understand that. So I'm hoping that we don't have a big, you know, I'm never going back to season two for me or whatever it was, season three. I'm never going back there again. But I don't think anything that happens to me in the future could never be as bad as what last year was. So I think I'm good on that. I finished that and checked that box off.
I believe there is a season two curse for every housewife. Like
Well, Cameron just skated through.
It's not fair. That's true. That's a good point.
Maybe she'll get hers this year. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Are you all on a group chat together?
Cameron and all the girls?
No, all of you. Because, now filming's over. I just always wonder if Real Housewives, if you guys all communicate, like on a group text.
I will tell you this. I do, whenever there's something, if I'm going to do something and there's people invited, I try to just include everybody. Because I don't, you know, it's the right thing to do. Once again, not everybody responds back to me. That's fine. But at least I did the right thing. Because I think it's important to spend time together as much as you can. And off this season, when we're not filming, you can lose touch with people, and then you know you start back up again. You're like, okay, what happened for the last 6 months? Or so I like to try to have at least a dinner or a lunch once a month to know where people are, talk on the phone, and that's as much as I can do. Some of those girls have lunch every week. I just can't do it, unfortunately. But I like to keep in touch because that way I know, you know, what's happening in their lives. And you do develop real friendships on the show.
Yeah.
And you care about people. So, I mean, it's a great example is Brandy and I didn't like each other at all the first year. And then we really made a turnaround. And I consider her still a really good friend of mine.
Yeah. Well, I know when you guys go to the Sweat Lodge, you really open up and share some things about yourself. Do you mm-hmm. feel like that helped solidify your relationship with the other girls?
You know, I don't know if my sharing, and I'm not, I will tell you, I'm not an oversharer like some people on the show. I share little pieces, little times, and different seasons. Last year at reunion, if you were there, you know, someone shared something about me that was really upsetting because that happened in my 20s and I didn't want that information out there until I was ready to share it. And I was really angry and I told her off big time on the show this year. I mean, really bad. That was the one time I lose my shit.
I will say you handled that amazingly.
I was pretty good all year long and that one time I lost it. I mean, you see it in the trailer and when the episode comes out, everybody thinks I'm talking to Lee and I'm not talking to her. But I had it up to here with, I was really angry about that, you know, just that's a real personal thing. And I've shared my dad's suicide, domestic violence. I have shared everything. Okay, so now we're going to share, you know, I had a problem with drugs in the past. But like I said to Andy, I'm like, I'm 50 years old. I was 27 years old or 28. I mean, it's been a long time. So, and yeah. It was, that really upset me. So if you saw me get real angry, which you did, and lose my shit, that was why. So, I mean, everybody's loud once, right?
I mean, again, I didn't even know you were upset at the time. Like, you handled it so well. Well, you said you don't overshare like some other people on the show. Who do you think?
I think Leanne overshares way too much.
Mm.
And I think it's to the point where people don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, I think, you know, it's fine to tell about your past, but every single time, I mean, what, last year we had the amygdala. That was the reason. The year before that, I was, you know, whatever traumatic stuff from her childhood. I have a lot of stuff from my childhood and my past. I don't carry it out every time I have a problem or I make a mistake. And I just think that she needs to, and I've told her that, and she doesn't want to hear it. But I think she way overshares things, and she always uses it as an excuse every single time something happens.
Well, I was going to ask if you think she manipulates situations with that information.
She said in her press that I'm calculated and manipulative and that I think about everything I say, which is not true. I do think, I'm not a person that just opens mouth and just lets, you know, stuff flow out as easily as her. Because I am a thinker, but I don't sit around and, like, calculate all my stuff, you know? I mean, that's just not the way I am. I kind of organically see what is happening in the scene or in the situation or what the questions are. And sometimes I get tripped up just like everybody else.
Yeah. My last question, because I am so curious. Mama D has strong opinions. What did she think or what does she think of the blonde hair?
Well, she has been texting me all the time that everybody likes your dark hair better. Everybody likes your dark hair better. So that's what I think she thinks is going back to the dark. But when I changed my hair color, I started it at reunion. Do you remember it was really lighter? Started going caramel because it's so hard to get blonde. And in fact, you know about what happens this season about the meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this, let me get this out real quick.
Yeah, no. So, tell the story.
Yeah, so I went after work because, of course, I can't do my hair during work. So I went at 6 to get my hair done. And we were just doing highlights on, we're doing the you know, the dark and then the highlights. It started turning orange. So it was like going, and we could not get it unorange. So this is going on until 4 in the morning. So at 12 o'clock, so I was thinking I was going to be in bed by 9:30, have my meeting at Travis at 8. So at 12 o'clock, I texted the youngest producer and I said, look, I cannot make it in the morning because I have to have sleep. Well, unfortunately, Travis didn't get the message. I missed the meeting. It looked like I was not a serious businesswoman. And it was embarrassing. But I was also trying to protect my hairdresser because I didn't want her to feel bad by me saying that my hair was orange. In hindsight, I should have just left at 10, put a baseball cap on, and gone to the meeting and looked like, you know, a complete idiot. But, I mean, it would probably have been funny for the story. But, you know, I'm a little vain. I'm from Texas. So, I mean, got it together, but it was very embarrassing, and I had to apologize to Travis. Luckily, he took it well, and he didn't give me too much of a hard time, and he was very gracious about it.
Good. So, Mama D, undecided on the blonde hair?
I think she wants me a brunette.
All right.
Because she wants to be the, you know, the queen she blonde. The queen bee blonde, my mom wants to be.
Well, thank you so much for
joining. Thank you, Megan. I appreciate it. Appreciate so much fun. You.
Bye. Real Housewives of Orange County.
This episode brought to you by Barry Manilow. I mean, how many times do you think they could say Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow, Barry Manilow, Barry Manilow.
And then they didn't even go and see him.
I know, we didn't even get Barry Manilow song.
Like, what? Come on. Well, who got a picture with him, though? Kelly did, at least.
Yeah.
So, Emily does the dance.
Oh.
I know.
It was bad.
I know.
It was so bad.
She looked incredible.
Sure. No, she did.
She really did. I mean, I think the makeup, the hair, the whole thing, she looked so amazing. I was so proud of her for being able to get out there and do that, because that is really scary and really intimidating. But the whole time when, like, it started off and she was starting to miss her steps and I was just like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no.
I know. This is why I feel like I would not be a good parent. Like, watching my kid fuck up on stage, right, and just, like, dying inside and being like, this is so awkward.
It was great, though, that when she came off stage, that Bronwyn and Kelly were both like, you did a great job. You know, like, she was like, I messed up a little bit. And Bronwyn was like, you did.
Yes, you did. You did. Like, that, no, that's not okay. You're just supposed to be like, no, what?
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Emily knew it was so obvious, and Bronwyn was like, Bronwyn has enough kids to know how to deal with, like, oh, yeah, you did, but, like, that's okay. You went out there and did it. That's all that matters.
Right. What do you think about the father-in-law? What? Like, it's one thing for Perry to be in the audience watching, because she's, like, a cool mom-in-law who gets it. But this father-in-law who's, like, basically watching a strip show and then with his daughter-in-law in, like, this really sexy outfit?
I wasn't as offended by his presence there as I was by, like, Tamra and the rest of the ladies talking about it later on in the episode.
Oh.
When they were like, yeah, gave your father-in-law a boner. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, now we went there. We went there and it was too far.
Happy anniversary, babe.
I gave your dad a boner.
Oh, boy.
But my question is, why were they there and then Shane came the next day?
Eric, why does Shane do any of the things Shane does?
I don't know. And I also was so annoyed when he did show up. And then Emily was like, wow, I'm just so impressed that he did that. He called a babysitter and he, like, figured out a way to, like, book a flight. It's like, okay, hiring a babysitter and booking a flight to Vegas from California is not rocket science. I would hope that he would be capable of doing such things.
But it is fucked up that his parents went and he didn't.
I know.
But as a consolation showed up the next day. Because I don't, maybe it was for religious reasons, but I think it's fine.
Yeah. If it were for the religious reasons, that's just, come on.
Come on. Well, what else would it be?
I know. That's true. I mean, that's a good point. That must have been what it is, because he's already taken the bar, so we know he's not studying. One thing I will say is that he finally validated something that Emily said, which I think is the first time we've seen it this season, when she was sort of like, we need to be better to each other. We need to work on our marriage. We need to improve on this. And he was like, yeah, I think you're right.
You and I have to commit to each other and to having a good marriage. And that's how we have happy kids, because they'll see that and they'll emulate that and they want to be around that.
Yes. Very well said.
I was like, oh my God. He didn't have some kind of quippy, dorky, sarcastic remark.
I can't believe you said dorky.
I had to, like, give a little, you know, nod to Kelly Dodd.
Yeah.
One thing I was a little confused by is Gina's lack of support for Emily through all of this. Now, do you think that Gina is obviously going through a lot, but don't you think she should also be supporting Emily? It feels like she's thinking that her problems are so much bigger than Emily's, so she doesn't have time to be there for her, right?
Yeah, it's this thing of, like, just because someone else's problems are bigger doesn't make another person's problems invalid.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I sometimes go through this with my friend, where, like, when she is having, like, really tough time, I will like try not to bring up my stuff.
Yeah.
And then she says, why? Like, your problems aren't any less of problems just because they're not these huge things like mine are.
Yeah. And sometimes it's fun to, not fun, but it's easier to maybe take on somebody else's problems for a little while and help them work through that because it puts your situation into perspective. And it's just sort of a way to commiserate together. Like, life is crazy. We're all going through it. We're all going through something. Like, I know that Gina probably can't see in this moment beyond, I don't have a license anymore. Like, how am I going to spend time with my kids? How am I going to do all of this? Like, she's very overwhelmed, but that doesn't change what Emily's going through. So I wish they could just, like, commiserate together.
Yeah, I agree.
And I understand why maybe Gina wouldn't be able to go to Vegas. That's not a very good look if you're trying to be
totally.
Like, you know, I totally get that.
But call immediately after and say, how did it go?
Right.
Have Bronwyn FaceTime the performance. You know, there are other ways to be a best friend in that moment.
Right. You don't need to just like align with Shannon because you guys have been buddy buddy for 2 weeks. Like, you can still be friends with Emily and support her through this because it's obviously, it took her a lot to get up on that stage and we should all be proud of her.
Yeah. Even though she messed up.
Right. Kelly did not have to do what she did, but I'm really glad that she did it.
The hitting Shannon?
Yeah.
Eric!
Not that I'm glad that she hit Shannon. I don't support violence.
Sounds like you do.
But I love that she was like, it's a social experiment. Let's just see what happens. Because to watch Shannon spiral the way that she did was so Shannon.
Okay. But I will say, I think it legitimately just hurt her and she was fine. But then it was, again, pot stir Tamara who was like, you sure you don't have a brain hemorrhage? Right? Like, it's Tamara.
And then all of a sudden Shannon's like, oh my God, I can't see out of one eye.
I don't want to scare you, but my ex-husband got hit in the top of the head and then his spinal fluid started leaking.
Which, by the way, I get that. I'm a total hypochondriac. So if someone just says, cancer. I'm like, I have it.
Right,
I'm dying.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, WebMD is going to make everyone think they're dying at every turn.
So
speaking of Tamara being a pot stirrer, which we really believe that she is this season, a very savvy user in the Daily Dish Facebook group, Nikki Albertson, noticed that in Tamara's kitchen, she has these towels hanging up above her like stove that say stirring the pot. So there is proof that she is a pot stirrer and she is proud of it. So thank you very much, Nikki, for that eagle eye.
I did find myself like gasping when the nurse asked Shannon, do you want to press charges?
I know.
I have a question for you. We just have to ask if you want us to call the police to press charges. Just because it's an assault, you know, like.
I did not expect that.
You just don't think about it.
No, not at all.
Because, I mean, honestly, it was not cool, in my opinion, what Kelly did. But you know there was no malintent.
Right. And that's what I mean. I mean, I'm glad Kelly did it because it obviously set into motion this, like, ridiculous course of events that have led us here. I think in that moment, I get it. Like, Kelly wasn't taking it as seriously as everyone else was. And that's a little bit of Kelly's personality. And she should have just waited. She should have just not done it. But, you know, can't go back. Well, at least next week, we're getting the OG of the OC again. Vicky Gunvalson coming through.
And plus more Kelly drama.
I spoke with Chef Ben Robinson from Below Deck Med. He talked about what it was like to start as a chef mid-charter season. Who was tougher to work for, Captain Lee or Captain Sandy? And he reveals how he's been helping with the Hurricane Dorian relief. Plus, he admits if he's ever slept with a charter guest. So here's that interview. Chef Ben, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Yeah, brilliant.
So tell the listeners where you were when you got the call from Captain Sandy.
Where was I? That's a good question. I was in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry, I do a lot of traveling, but I actually had to give you an honest answer. I had to think about that.
Well, if you really want to give us an honest answer, I think you told the after show that you were at a...
No, that was a joke.
Okay.
I said I was at a strip club. I was trying to keep it spicy.
Of course, So Fort
Lauderdale.
I was
just trying to go for the degenerate chef look, but apparently I don't need to, so we don't need to go there.
Okay, fair. What was it like to join the charter mid-season? Did you feel a certain pressure?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've done it before. It wasn't my first time, and obviously, as a yacht chef, we're in the business of rescuing boats who have, you know, obviously terrible chefs, or you know, some boats obviously break down, and you know, we kind of just go and rescue the whole boat charter.
Yeah.
So it's quite a commonplace thing, but. Obviously, because this is a television show, the pressure was on a lot more. There's a lot more eyes on you. And yeah, it was nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie. I was bloody nervous.
Yeah. Well, you had a little bit of trouble in the space, too, because that burner wasn't working. And it was just a mess
a little bit, terrible.
Right?
It was one of the most dysfunctional galleys I've been in. And for a boat that size, it was a bit. It should be a better galley. It should be bigger. It should be, you know, more organized.
Well, at least, you know, I think you coming in, I mean, that galley had been through a lot already between Chef Mila and then Anastasia and everything. So I think you did rescue it, more or less.
I did. And you know, I'm a firm believer in energy and juju, and I believe that galleys do carry that. So you can kind of sense the energy when you come in, and it's just like very dysfunctional, kind of a dark sort of morose energy. And I don't think it was working for anyone, and I knew I had my work cut out for me. So I sensed it, and I was right. it was awful.
Which boat do you think was harder to work on, Sirocco or Valor?
There's been quite a lot of them. Just go over Sirocco again.
Sirocco's the most recent one, the Below Deck
Okay.
Met, this one, yeah.
Or Valor.
Yeah.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, at Valor, I had my own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really nice, and it had, like, windows in it, and I had a beautiful view, and I had long countertops, and it was just far more functioning. But there's always a catch. That didn't have air conditioning.
Oh, God.
You know? So when you're on a boat and the sun's beating down on you,
and you're in a hot kitchen.
You've got all your burners and ovens rolling.
Right.
But I was happy there, and I remember that was my first season, and I was happy with my food. And I also really believe that if you're in a good space, you can be very creative. Due to your organization, like, your head's much clearer.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas if you're completely discombobulated, your food is kind of messy and awkward. You know, it really does transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're one of the people who's worked for both Captain Lee and Captain Sandy.
I'm the only.
The only. Yes. Look at that. Yeah. So
I'm the crossover dude.
Who is tougher on you, do you think?
I don't think either of Lee was tougher on me towards the end. I feel that, you know, that we kind of may have gone in sort of different directions. I became a little more fed up with the program, and you know, because it was just really tough, and so I feel Lee kind of almost sort of bit into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Sandy, and we didn't do a full season, but Sandy, I think she was just overjoyed that she had a real chef on the boat now.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of gave me a lot of respect because
right.
she didn't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, so if that could answer your question, but who knows, if we were to both start fresh seasons together, who would know? But generally, the chef shouldn't technically be getting too much stick from the captain.
Right, that's true.
You know.
Well,
unless you're not doing a good job.
Of course, yeah, yeah, yeah. So in terms of then working with Kate and Hannah.
Yes.
Who's tougher on you?
Well, I outrank them, so they can't really be
right.
tougher on
well,
me.
Well, maybe but, not even in a professional setting, but in a personal setting.
In a personal setting? I think, okay, so this is two questions. I think in a personal setting, I think Kate is probably a little tougher on me because we're very, you know, we're very close. We're both Capricorns, and we know how to piss each other off. And it's a lot of fun.
Right.
But Hannah, I think she tries to be tougher in the field with me, and it doesn't, it's not going to work for her.
Yeah. You know, I think we've seen that from Hannah, too, with a lot of the guys on the show. She's a little bit tougher in the professional setting, but then she, once you're out or something, it's a little different.
Yeah, no, she's a lot of fun.
Well, I did want to ask you, actually, you know, about Travis this season. A big conversation that's happened over and over again is his drinking.
What drinking? He doesn't drink, does he? Travis?
No. We must be talking about two different people. Well, do you think your experience as a health coach, do you think that helped sort of address that issue? Did you use some of those tools maybe to talk to him?
I don't know. I don't think so. It would be nice to sit down with him and do it, but I just feel like he comes from a different culture.
Yeah.
Particularly the boating culture which he comes from, which is more of a sailboat. So I think that, you know, that's a far more lenient sort of culture, and I think you're allowed to be pretty much shit-faced all day long.
Well, then we can't blame him, can we?
No, you can't. No. Good for him.
Well, we also learn a little bit about Captain Sandy's struggles with alcohol abuse as well.
Right.
So do you think having her kind of discuss that is helpful for the audience to sort of see maybe a different side of someone like Captain Sandy than they would?
I do, and I really believe that Sandy is... I find her to be inspirational, and I think that she's seen a lot in her life, and I think she's a really wonderful human being, and I think any advice she could give you, particularly within that context, should be well received.
Yeah. Do you view her almost as a mentor?
I'm not a captain, but yeah. I think definitely there she has attributes that I would respect as mentoring. Mm-hmm. And I think we could all learn from her, to be honest.
Well, I agree. Relationships have been a huge part of the show, especially with Jack and Aisha. Mm. Have you ever been involved in a relationship with someone you work with?
Never.
Never?
No. What's a relationship?
What's that?
Oh, do you mean sex? No,
yes,
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
No, I'm joking.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when you're on the waters on this show, it's sort of like, what is a relationship?
I know.
It's like summer camp for you guys out
right.
there.
Right. Actually, I think I was in a relationship, now you mention it. Me and Emily, we saw each other and after the show for a while, we gave it a college effort, and but you know, ultimately she's a London girl and I'm a Florida boy.
Right.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I like palm trees, she likes concrete and pigeons.
Well, in the same vein, have you ever had a relationship with a charter guest?
Ooh.
Because we've heard some confessions from Jack.
Am I going to get fired for this? No, I'm just kidding.
No, we've heard some confessions from Jack about, you know, slipping into a room late at night. So.
Oh, really?
Not on this show. In the past.
Well done, Jack.
Yeah, I know.
God, his stock just went up. So, answer, yes. In my very early years, my first boat, I was 22 when I first got into yachting as a chef, 23, and there was a very, very striking young girl who, and we may have done unthinkable things to each other.
Wow. That is an exclusive, you guys. Well, on a little bit more of a serious note, you and Joao were just helping with the Dorian relief. Tell us more about what you were doing with that.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, so I was, obviously it's very close to my heart. That whole region that got decimated, I've lived there. In fact, we shot two seasons in Marsh Harbor, so it's even close to the whole Below Deck program. So I felt responsible, and Joao was already in the midst of, you know, setting up foundations and being very active. And I just thought, hey, I'm going to jump on this bandwagon. And I think it really worked. Us as a team, we ended up raising lots of money. I actually put my own money in as well. Wow. Because, you know, if you're a public figure or however you want to bloody well call it, you know, you have to lead by example. So there's no, if you're saying, oh yeah, donate money, and you haven't donated any yourself, it's just, you know, I think it's more important to be like, look, I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Absolutely. That's a huge thing right now. Right. It's called slacktivism. It's when you like pretend like you're doing something, but you're not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yes. And so, and I do like to give back, and I just thought that was a key opportunity. And, but Zhao, he was much more active. He was even on the ground there, and I'm really proud of him. He did an incredible job, and he continues to do that. So and we're still organizing stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's only the beginning. I mean, that's what people also forget.
Yeah, no, exactly. So even right now today I got some news that maybe that there's some pirating and stuff.
Wow.
You know, with supplies that are going there, so we need to get to the bottom of that, and you know, so it's just the saga continues.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We need to team you up with Bethany Frankel from Real Housewives of New York City. She's
I know she's really good, and I've given her some shout outs, and I think we've been in touch. It's, you know, she's obviously much more established, but this is definitely something that I'm interested in.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I mean,
no worries.
The world appreciates it.
Thank you.
Tell us one more thing that we have to look forward to for the rest of the season.
Me finding my headspace and finally organizing my bloody refrigerators and hopefully my food gets better. Other than that, I don't know. I'm very selfish. I just think about me, really, you know.
Right. Well, listen, that's what you got to do, okay? Well, thank you so much, Chef Ben, for coming. Okay. We appreciate it, and welcome
thank
back.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Thanks.
Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Rose and Thorn. What was your Rose?
Definitely from Below Deck Med. Jack going through all this effort to ask Aisha to be his girlfriend. It was so sweet.
It was so sweet. And he got everyone involved.
Yes, I loved that.
I loved the rap with Colin, too.
Amazing.
This is where it all started. This is where it all began. You won the crew's hearts. You know that we're your biggest fan. Aisha, don't you know you were in the crew mess? You met such a guy. Would you expect less? There's something above deck that you'd want to see. So enjoy your surprise. A surprise it will be.
I wish Colin would rap for me. My Rose was from Married to Medicine, and it was during this very kind of serious scene between Dr. Simone and Toya, where she comes in. Toya's talking about the miscarriage that she had, and Dr. Simone hands her a tissue because she's obviously emotional and crying. And in the middle of their discussion, Dr. Simone is like, I handed you that tissue because I wanted you to blot your eyes, not to wipe it. Because, you know, when you wipe your makeup, it smears or whatever.
And the reason I gave you the tissue was to blot your eye, not to take your finger and smear the tear. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Let me show you how to dot your eye.
You know, I'm really mad at it.
Okay. Yeah. You like, good.
Yeah.
No, just dot it.
But it was just like such a like small amount of shade that just was so perfect and so well-timed.
I remember Naomi Campbell being on the Oprah show, and she was crying talking about something, and she used like the heel of her palms to gently press her tears. And I always think about that because it really like didn't mess up her makeup,
right.
And it's just such an elegant way to do it.
There's a really funny gif that I use often of Kylie Jenner doing that from an interview where she just like really uses like the very corner of her finger to just be like... I mean, it makes sense. You work really hard to get the makeup looking that way. You don't want to mess it up. But thank you, Dr. Simone, for that moment of shade. What was your thorn?
My thorn is from Below Deck Med. Joao getting a little attitude with Captain Sandy. Now, I know he was not feeling his best, but just do what Sandy asks. And if she says, is it the spark plug? Check it, please. Check it, Joao.
Right. I also saw someone comment on, I think it was Twitter or it was in one of the Facebook groups, saying that Sandy kind of let him off too easy. Like if it had been Captain Lee, like Joao would have been in so much trouble. But I think Captain Sandy kind of let him get away with it a bit.
Also, if it had been Conrad from last season, she would have probably fired him.
Pushed him right over the side.
She has a soft spot for Joao. I don't get it.
It's true. My thorn is... I love Real Housewives of Potomac, you know this. But my thorn is the fact that they chose white as the theme for this reunion. Because the set was French Quarter, so New Orleans. I feel like there was a really missed opportunity for them to do some amazing colors for their dresses. Mm. And then I think the white just kind of, I don't know, washed it all out a little bit.
I don't love an all white.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard, number one, to pick a white dress that doesn't look like a bride.
I know.
So your options are very limited.
And yeah.
I don't know. I
just they did it on it. Atlanta.
Yeah.
Seasons back, you know, and it's just sort of like, don't do white.
I don't. Yeah.
It's limiting.
Next week, we have interviews with Cameron Westcott from Real Housewives of Dallas and Gisele Bryant from Real Housewives of Potomac. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.